Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and to make Him known, and we now offer two services on Sundays. Our classic service begins at 9 a.m., and our modern service begins at 11:15 a.m., and it's also streamed on Facebook Live. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
This is part two of Gideon. Now, if you're unfamiliar with part one of Gideon, you can go back and listen to last week. I'll give you a brief review here in just a second. But I love the story of Gideon. And we kind of looked at how God loves to use underdogs. And we like the story of an underdog, right? We do. Unless it's Purdue, then we don't like them at all. And some of you get that later. That's okay. I'm mourning. I'm mad. But I had to confess that and get that taken care of before communion. So now some of you get that later. That's okay. But I'm going to review just a little bit. So what we see with Israel, they were going through this crazy cycle. And this crazy cycle was they're worshiping God, they're dedicated to God, and then they kind of get away from the Lord, and then they wouldn't completely obey Him, and then they wouldn't obey Him at all. And then the Lord, because they would not obey, they would not listen, the Lord still loved them, but He took His hand of blessing off of them. And when that happened, the more their enemies, more their issues were coming, because they would not get rid of the idols that were in their lives. And the one main idol they were worshiping was the idol of Baal. And they had this Asherah pole, and they had all this set up. And so God did not want them to have that. He said, get rid of that. And so they're worshiping these false idols. Everyone's doing whatever they think is right in their own eyes. And the Lord lifts His hand of blessing, and their enemies come in. These guys named the Midianites. The Midianites would come in, take their crops, and the men and the families, they're hiding in caves and cisterns in the mountains, and they're afraid, and they don't know what to do. And finally they cry out to the Lord, Lord, we are starving. God, we are hurting. God, we need Your help. That's where God had gotten to that point. They're starving. The angel of the Lord shows up and sees Gideon. He's in a wine press threshing wheat. He said, why is he in a wine press threshing wheat? That's not where you thresh wheat. Because they were so afraid. And the angel goes, hey,
mighty warrior. And Gideon's like, I'm not a mighty warrior. I'm a nobody. In fact, my tribe is the least of the 12 tribes of Israel. And of that 12 tribe that's the least, I'm on the bottom of the barrel. I'm on the bottom of the barrel. It's kind of like being the last pick of the NFL draft. Very last. You don't expect much out of that person, right? And every now and then they'll surprise you, but God saw something in Gideon. God's like, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. You nobody. I'm going to use you who didn't think they could be used. And so he takes Gideon, and Gideon goes, and he is told by God, I want you to destroy the high place, the Asherah pole and Baal. I want you to destroy that. I want you to destroy that, and then I want to use that same wood. I want you to use it for kindling, and I want you to sacrifice unto the Lord like you should, like they already should have. And so he's like, oh, I'll do it. But it gets sticky. Because for decades, this wasn't like overnight, for decades, they had been serving Baal, worshiping Baal. And they had entrusted someone to take care of Baal and the Asherah pole. Guess who it was? Gideon's father. Oh, now it gets good. Now it gets real good. So he goes at night with 10 of his other hired servants, and they destroy it, and they do exactly what God told them to do. They get angry, and they're ready to kill Gideon. They surround his father's house, and his father's like, whoa, wait a second. If Baal's so tough, let Baal take care of him. They're like, fine, we're going to change Gideon's name. We're going to call him Jerub-Baal. That's what we're going to call him. We're going to change his name. And if you're familiar with this story at the end, when they end up in part of this story, say, For the Lord and for the sword of Gideon, they mention Gideon's name. They don't use his new name. They use his main name. What we see here with Gideon, is how to deal with adversity. How to deal when things aren't exactly going great in your life. I'm reminded this week of Pastor Andrew Brunson, who spent 2 years as a prisoner in Turkey. He and his wife had served there for 23 years, peacefully, loving Jesus, loving people, bringing people to Jesus. And when out of the blue, he was arrested, thrown in the prison, not told why he was even in prison. He could have got bitter, he could have got better, but he got better. He said, God is doing something in this that I do not understand. About a year before that, the Turkish president met with our president in the same chair that the Turkish president sat in the Oval Office. This week was the same chair that Pastor Andrew Brunson sat in and prayed in the Oval Office over our president. He had been released. Some think he was used as a pawn, I don't know. But he was arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus. And all because of that. But he kept his faith. He kept focus on what he was going to do for God despite his circumstances. And Gideon, let me tell you, he didn't like his circumstances. He was nervous. He was anxious. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't feel like he was worthy enough even to be used. And here, God's going to use him. So I want you to know this here this morning, that God's story will require your trust. It will require your obedience. And the challenge last week was to take that pen and say, God, I'm done writing my own story, and I'm going to hand it to you for a better story. God, I want you to see what you can do instead of what I can do. And let me tell you, God can write such a much better story than you could ever write. But hang on. Hang on to your seats, because what God will do will surprise you. In verse 33, it says, soon after the armies of Midian, Amalek, here in Judges 6, verse 33, and the people of the east formed an alliance against Israel. So not only were the Midianites already hard to number, they added more. They added more to their army to go against Israel, and he is nervous. And so this is what he does. Camping in the valley of Jezreel. I love this. Then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. I need to see it. It's like the Lord is just wrapping him with his Spirit. And Gideon, I'm wrapping your fears with my Spirit. I'm wrapping your unrestlessness with my Spirit. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you strength. You're going to be the mighty warrior in which I've called you to be. I'm going to bless you. And he blew the ram's horn to call to arms. The men of the clan of Abiezer came to him. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, and Zebulun, and Naphtali. And summoning their warriors, and all of them responded. Then Gideon said to God, God, if you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel as you promised, prove it to me this way. And I will put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight. If the fleece is wet with dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I will know that you are going to help me rescue Israel as you promised. And that's just what happened. And then Gideon got up next morning. He squeezed out the fleece, wrung it out, a whole bowl full of water. Now, he had already seen a miracle where there at that high place where he destroyed the idol of Baal, where the angel of the Lord was there, and he made an offering, and fire came and took it all up. He'd already seen that. And how awesome would that be? And Gideon's like, okay, God, I need another sign here. And so he does that. Then he's like, okay, God, that's wonderful, and that was awesome, but I need another one, but just in reverse. Okay, what's going on here? What's going on here? You know, was Gideon testing God, or was he simply asking God for encouragement? In either case, his motive here is correct. His motive is correct. It's to deliver Israel. It's to defeat God, the enemy that they have. His method, though, was less than ideal. He's wanting extra signs. Wanting extra signs after he's seen this miracle. Listen, don't let a fleece become a substitute for God's wisdom that only comes through the Bible and through prayer. You see, today, the greatest means of God's guidance for you, the greatest rule that we have, ruler, so to speak, for the basis of our faith and practice is the Word of God. And unlike Gideon, we have God's completed, revealed Word. And so if you want more guidance, don't ask for more signs. Get into His Word. Get into His Word. He's going to speak to you through His Word. We have the Holy Spirit, which is given to us, right? It indwells in us, and then there's different times of filling. Just as you need to fill up your car every so often, as you drive, it's the same way in our Christian faith. We need the Spirit of God to do whatever we need to do. And Gideon here, he's wrapped, right? He's wrapped with the Spirit of God. It was temporary in the Old Testament. It wasn't always with them, but he's wrapped with it. He's feeling that. And Scripture tells us this. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God. In other words, it's God-breathed. The Word of God is alive. And so it's God-breathed. It's useful to teach us what is true. I tell you what, you can go on Facebook, you can go on social media. There's a lot of people who think they know what is true, right? And for some people, it changes every couple weeks, every year, to whatever the society feels like truth should be. Listen, truth comes from somewhere. There is truth. It is just because we have this mindset in our society, what is true for you may not be true for me. That sounds nice, but go 100 miles per hour down Main Street, right? And see if that excuse works with the police officer. No, it won't. It won't. Truth is truth. And we need the Word of God. It's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It's correct. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Listen, it's wonderful if you're praying, but are you reading the Word? You reading the Word? When churches usually have problems, or when you have problems in your life, or someone makes a stink, it's usually because they've strayed away from the Word of God and what it tells us and how to do things. And so, listen, you could be praying and praying and praying, and praying is talking and communicating with God, right? And that's what it is. It's to praise Him. It's to ask Him. It's to thank Him. Prayer is wonderful. It's communicating with God. And God speaks to us in a couple different ways. It could be through His Spirit. It's a whisper, right? It could be through other people. But it's also through His Word. And Christian, I'm going to challenge you right here, right now. If you're not in His Word, you're not in His Word, don't bother waiting for the Holy Spirit to whisper to you. It's not. Because one of the ways that the Holy Spirit loves to work, and He can. He can do it. God can do whatever He wants. He's all powerful, right? But He speaks through His Word. He does. He speaks through preaching. Sometimes it makes me chuckle a little bit. Sometimes someone can hear something over here and something over here and right here, and God spoke to them in that message. And sometimes it could be something it wasn't even the main point. And I'm like, I don't know what you were hearing. I don't remember even saying that. You never know how the Spirit works. But what I do know is we have this doctrine called illumination. Illumination. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is, as when they're reading the Word of God, it's to help them understand the Word of God. And in fact, Scripture even says this. We're going to see here in just a second in 1 Corinthians 2, that if you don't know Christ and this Christianity is new to you and you read the Bible and you're like, I just don't quite get it, that's because what the Bible says, you're spiritually discerned. In other words, you're going to have a hard time understanding it. Yeah, you can understand certain things and some things, but you're not going to get it all. Why? Because you need the Spirit of God to help you understand the Word. Christian, have you heard from God lately? Now I realize we can have times where our faith feels like it's in the desert. But if you haven't heard from God lately, is it because you haven't been in the Word? Yeah. You've been in the Word. Get into the Word. He's given it to us. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says this, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us the deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except for that own person's spirit. Talking about them. But no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. And when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who are not spiritual, in other words, saved, can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds like foolish to them, and they cannot understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Now, at that last part, who are spirit. It's not talking, oh, just pastors or just deacons. No, no, no. Those who are born again believers, the Spirit helps you understand the Word of God. Listen, Gideon needed the Spirit of God because he was a nobody. He was a nobody. And God said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to empower you through my Spirit. Listen, we are nobodies without Jesus. All right? I mean, amen. We're nobodies without Jesus. We need the Spirit of God to fill us, to empower us, to help us. And listen, the church was powerless until the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit came. It was a prophecy fulfilled that by Jesus or by the Holy Spirit that Jesus had prophesied and empowered the church. We're empowered. And so when you're empowered by the Spirit, I want you to know something. When you hand God the pen, your story will not always make sense. It won't. This is what I love about Gideon and his story. And I hope this helps you out this morning. A little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God's in it. I'm going to paraphrase part of this story. So Gideon, he rounds up 32,000 men who are going to be soldiers with him. And the Lord says, that's too many. Now, they're already greatly still outnumbered. And he says, that's way too many. I want you to go to them and I want you to let them know and ask them that if any of them feel afraid or discouraged or timid, that they can leave and go home. And so that's what Gideon does. And 22 of the 32,000 leave. Now there's only 10,000 of them. And you can imagine Gideon go, the angel said, I'm a mighty warrior. What? This doesn't seem very wise. This does not seem very smart. And then God goes, get this. It gets even better. God's like, that's too many. Now, why would God say that's too many? He's telling Gideon there's too many because with 32,000, if they defeat, when they defeat the Midianites, they're going to think they did it. With 10,000, that's still too many. They think they've done it. 10,000, that's too many. Take them over to this creek, this spring over here, and I want you to see how they drink the water. The ones that get on all fours and drink like a dog, we don't want those. The ones who bend down and cup it up to their mouth and they drink, we want them. Guess how many of the 10,000 do that? 300! 300! You can imagine this Gideon. Gideon's like, man, we're in trouble. I'm dead. I might as well go ahead and write my will. I don't know who's going to get my will. They're probably destroying my whole family, my whole clan. We're done. But we don't see him do that. We don't see him fret, though he is afraid, no question. But yet he still has faith. See, faith is not equal to feelings. To allow your feelings guide your faith is like a truck driver being controlled by its cargo. It won't work. It won't work. You see, when you get down to it, faith is acting like God is telling the truth. And that's exactly what Gideon did. We see Gideon, he was concerned. He was afraid. He no doubt we see this. Why is he asking for so many different signs and miracles? Because he is afraid. He's afraid. He feels like a nobody. Some of you maybe you're here and you struggle with self-esteem. You feel like a nobody. Maybe you were told you were a nobody. Maybe you were told you'll never amount to anything by your parents who are supposed to love you, protect you, and build you up. Listen, dads, by the way, it's much easier to build boys than men. Build your boys. Build your boys. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. And God, when God is writing your story, there'll be twists, there'll be turns, and sometimes you will be at the end of your seat. But I want you to know, he's in control. And God doesn't use a delete button. He doesn't use whiteout. He doesn't mess up your story when you hand him the pen. No, God is in control. Think of a caterpillar. Caterpillar, most of them are ugly. They're slow. They're slimy. It takes all day for them to go 2 feet. But when it undergoes a process of metamorphosis, the caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. And something beautiful is born. And this metamorphosis is a process of something at work on the inside trying to show up on the outside. There's only one reason a butterfly can fly. Its wings are strengthened by the work it does to break through the cocoon. If a bystander come up with a sharp knife and were to slit that so the butterfly could get out much easier, then it actually would end up dying. It would not be able to fly because it has to squeeze out the remaining liquid, whatever it has there from the cocoon, to dry out its wings so it can quickly fly. You see, Christian, you're a butterfly waiting to happen. You may feel like a caterpillar. You may even think you look like a caterpillar. I don't know. But the idea is to be faithful to the Lord in the midst of adversity, because God is at work. Maybe right now you have adversity all around you and you're dealing with some heavy things. It could be that God's just trying to get your attention. You may be like, God, you got my attention. You may be doing everything right and you're dealing with adversity in your life. I want you to know something. What you think may be meant to bury you may be just God planting you to build you up, to make you fruitful, do something maybe even new in your life. I don't know. God's speaking to somebody here this morning. He's not trying to bury you. He's trying to plant you. Because I want you to know, God's story, in the end, when you hand him the pen, it's the best story. It really is. And what's so wonderful about God's story is it's not going to match the other person over here and over here and over here. It's your own story. It's your own testimony. It's your own way of saying what God is doing in your life. And so it gets crazier, though. I love this story. So Gideon decides we're going to go down there. Since God has told us to attack, we have 300 men now. He takes he and another buddy, and they go down, and they spy, and they get close to some of the soldiers. And one of the soldiers has a dream. And he goes, man, I had a crazy dream last night. Oh, what was the dream? He goes, well, I had a dream that this barley loaf, which is like the least of the breads, right? This barley piece of bread came rolling down and hit the tent and killed us all. And the other guy goes, whoa, we're going to lose. Like, really? Like if someone, Tim Hong came up and said, Pastor, I'm concerned about this game. We're going to play a softball game. And I had a dream that a big piece of bread came and killed us all. And I wouldn't go, well, I guess we're going to lose. I'm like, man, you must have ate some bad pizza, or you've been drinking, or what's going on, Tim? Like, you having some personal issues here? And you would be concerned. Like, who says that? Listen, I'm just going to let you know right now. If one of you all die because someone hits you with a piece of bread, we will mourn for you. But some point in time down the road, we're going to make fun of the fact that you died because someone hit you with a loaf of bread. And Gideon looks to his guy and goes, we got this. Okay, Gideon. Okay. And so they hear this. They go back. They get ready for battle. Ready for battle. And he gives each one of his men a trumpet. He gives them a torch that's inside of a jar. And so he says, okay. We're going to take the 300, we're going to divide them up into threes, right? So we've got 100, 100, 100, and we're going to surround where they're at. And this is what we're going to say. In verse 20, it says, the sword of the Lord and for Gideon, not Jerubbaal, for Gideon. Make sure they hear that. Say it really loud, because I want to make sure everyone knows that we're doing this here for the Lord, not Baal. The Lord's going to deliver us, not Jerubbaal, but Gideon was his servant. And that's exactly what they do. And they blow the horn. They drop the clay pots, they hold onto the torch, and they attack. The Midianites, who greatly outnumber Gideon and the men, they get up thinking that they're being attacked by thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Maybe the Lord orchestrated it, the sound, I don't know. But they get up, it's not like they had a name badge that said M on it for Midianites, right? They get up and they start attacking one another because they don't know who the enemy is. They attack and they start to run, and they run and attack, and the 300, Gideon and his 300 men attack them. The people hear it from all around in that valley. The men who were once in the cistern and in the caves come out as they continue for days to chase the rest of the Midianites, and they take the Midianites out, delivering Israel. And for 40 years there is peace in Israel, all because one man named Gideon decided to step up and have faith to follow the Lord. Now listen, I believe every single person here, God wants to use in some capacity, in some greater ways in which you may not even realize that God may want to do. Some of you may be future pastors. I remember sitting in the back of a room and hearing a preacher say that, and I thought, I'll never be a pastor. I'll never want to do that. You never know what God will want to do in your life. I remember from like kindergarten to fourth grade, I had speech therapy in elementary. I thought, why would God want to call some kid who had speech therapy and use him in the ministry? Kind of like Moses, right? God, I can't talk. And God's like, hey, you'll do, and I'll use you. And God's not always looking for the most talented. He's looking for the most available. And God wants to use you. Are you letting the Lord use you? Are you letting him write your story? In this life, we're going to deal with much adversity, pain, and despair. The world is full of it. And some will wonder, is there hope? Is there hope? Will God give me hope? Will God give me direction? About 2,000 years ago, the bread of life came down from heaven. God the Father looked to his Son. The Son stood up and he stepped down and became like one of us, born in a manger. Humbly born in a manger. He lived a perfect, sinless life, only man, person ever to do so, and died on the cross for our sin. Died for our sin and defeated death when he resurrected after 3 days. He ascended and is sitting and waiting one day to come back to get his church. John 6:35 says this about Jesus, or Jesus said this about himself. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He is our living water. He is our bread of life. And the bread came of life came down from heaven and he crushed death. He crushed death. In fact, one of the first prophecies that we see in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's a messianic, it's a prophecy of the Messiah. And it said, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman, talking to the serpent that tempted Eve, right? And Adam, between your offspring and her offspring, and I will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. And Jesus, when the bread of life came down from heaven, he struck the head of that serpent snake, our enemy, Satan. And he took him out for you. Because God is love. And he loves you. And he cares for you. So my challenge to you, Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior, are you holding on to the pen and trying to write your own life? It's not going to work out very well for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made that decision to say to God, God, I repent of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. You've never done that. Why not give the pen to him today and say, God, I'm giving my life to you. You can do that. Come and trust in the Savior who loves you and cares for you. See, 1 John, I'll end with this. 1 John 5:4 says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so, with your story, who is writing yours? You or the Spirit of God? Father, we come to you in prayer.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website, southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.